Time is running out for the planet Earth.
It's impervious to all voices.
It is an intriguing sensation.
It's a nuclear device.
Fun, fun, fun!
Yes, that's nice.
Statistically speaking, of course, it's still the safest way to travel.
It belongs to a creature from outer space.
It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's very important.
It does not compute.
It's a trap!
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Geek Shall Inherit. I'm Daniel Pickett.
I'm Jason Lindsay.
And another week, and more geek talk.
Here we are.
That's what we got.
Well, we got lots.
We do have a lot, actually. You know, every week I think, boy, what are we going to talk about this
week?
And then we sit down and start making kind of an outline, and it's just like, oh, it turns out there's a lot of stuff every week.
I blame the internet.
That's the problem?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's just so much information happening, at, you know, right now.
It's not because we're just in a golden age of geekdom?
I think it is, but I think it's also just there's so much information. Like now it's like that old thing about, like, technology. You've got it, so you better use it kind of thing.
Before it goes away, like on
not,
Revolution?
Not that it goes away, but that so that, you know, people are more accessible now just because they can be more accessible.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
The deals are getting made, and, like, the people are on, they used to be pagers, and now it's the thing, cell phone or whatever, and it's like, things got a, you know, things went just fine before all that stuff.
Right.
It's just that because that accessibility is there, information happens quicker, and suddenly it's like, you better get to the meeting at 3 o'clock, and here's a piece of information just got to you 5 minutes ago, and you better, you know,
everyone just gave you an alert.
Exactly. Your Palm Pilot. So, yeah, I blame the internet for all this information coming at us.
Okay.
It's too much to keep up with sometimes.
But if not for the internet, we wouldn't be here.
That's true.
We'd just be sitting in a room yammering at each other.
Yeah, I don't dislike the internet.
Right.
I'm just saying I blame it for all the information that's out there.
I see.
And trying to keep up with it.
But where else are you going to be able to track down, you know, it is what you always wanted as a kid because, you know, of the thirst for information you had growing up about movies and music and all that. And now it's all just at your fingertips. You don't have to go anywhere.
There is a lot of it out there, you have to admit.
Yes.
And it's hard to keep up with, A. And B, it's I don't know, if it's there's a lot of stuff that isn't as special anymore because it... Like, once you're done with the one thing, by Tuesday there's something else, and then Wednesday something else comes along, and it's a big announcement. You know, it's like, here's an example. The Blu-ray thing.
Yes.
Major things happened all at once, like in the past couple of weeks, that never would have happened before, where you would have had a release for, like, a video cassette or something would have been kind of on its own for, like, a month. It would have been a big deal.
Yeah.
In the course of, like, a week or two, the Avengers, the Indiana Jones Blu-ray box set, and the James Bond Blu-ray box set. In fact, Avengers and Bond hit it on the same day.
Yeah.
Like,
and let's not forget also the Dark Knight Returns Part 1.
Right, but that's
26 years in the making. Why are you discounting that?
Because I don't think that's nearly as big as the Avengers coming out on DVD. And
really?
An entire set of Bond movies on Blu-ray.
Did,
like,
you get
at
it
once?
Yet?
Yeah.
Is it in your home?
It is, of course. But it's 50th anniversary, and I mean, that's a big... Yeah, the Dark Knight thing is cool, but that's not... People haven't been, like, waiting for that, I don't think, in the same
way. I have.
As indie on Blu-ray. Now, why have you been waiting for this for so long?
Because I've been wanting to see that story in a different format.
Okay.
And, you know, we always hoped that they would make a film out of it.
Yeah.
I think they made the right choice breaking it up into two...
I haven't seen
parts.
It yet. Did you see it?
I actually just picked it up last night. I got the Best Buy version that has a little figure.
Of course you did.
In it. But no, I haven't had a chance to watch it yet because it just came out Tuesday.
I've heard some things that some fundamental stuff from the text has been changed.
He doesn't have the voiceover is what I heard.
That's
the big deal.
And people are like, why would that happen?
You know?
Yeah, and I understand if it had to be maybe toned down slightly. I'm sure it's still pretty graphic because it's like PG-13, right?
But the figure is rated ages 10 and up, so
the little figure,
yes.
Well, that's interesting.
So, yeah.
So give it to your kid,
right? And then in 3 years they'll be able to go
kick him out of the room and watch the DVD.
That's right.
It's just like I said, like, so all that stuff that they've done has all been good, and it's been well done, and you know, great voice cast, like Ted James Woods and all kinds of people doing voices and stuff. Most of the stuff I just watch once, and then it just goes into on the shelf.
Right.
And I never watch it again, except for, like, New Frontier, I thought was great.
The one
you mentioned, the Gotham Knights thing, I watched that once.
Yeah.
And never bothered with again. Someone pointed it out, was it Pugglesworth or Height or somebody on the Geek Shall Inherit page that it's they're never as good as a Batman animated series. Like those episodes to me are like about as good as it gets.
Right.
And the stuff that's been good, it just hasn't been on that level to me.
Yeah.
And the Dark Knight thing looks good. I'll probably pick it up eventually, but
I think part of that though, I mean some of them are done terribly. Like Superman Doomsday was awful.
I don't even remember it. I mean, I remember watching it.
Well, it was terrible, and it was kind of unforgivable. But a lot of the other ones, the thing that was kind of so great about the Batman animated was that these were all new stories.
Right.
Whereas what they're giving us on the DVDs right now are existing adaptations of things we sort of know.
I mean, every now and then the animated series.
Not that element of surprise. But people have really been digging. Like when they do those shorts at the beginning, because those are original
great.
Things.
Yeah.
They did a Spectre one, and they did a Jonah Hex.
Yeah.
Those have been a lot of fun because those are, you know, surprises.
Yeah, those are great, and they're, to me, a different tone and a different look. Like, wasn't there the Spectre one was really trippy. Like
they did it as a period piece.
Yeah, it was very 70s, was it Gary Cole did the voice or something?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, they get great.
Whose birthday was, I think, last week?
Oh, happy birthday, Gary.
Yeah.
They get great voice artists to do stuff. This one is it Peter Weller is doing Batman?
That's right, RoboCop is Batman.
Who's the Joker again?
Michael Emerson is what I heard.
Michael Emerson and you know, they're always well done and everything. They don't knock me out, but I'll eventually get this thing. But anyway, so there's an example of like, wow, Indiana Jones and Bond, you know, a week apart, the Blu-ray sets. Those are big releases. Those are big deals.
Have you watched them all?
No, but I tell you, I'm very disappointed in the indie stuff. I kind of figured was going to be similar to what came out. There's supposed to be some additional stuff, and there's this great, like, on the set of Raiders, where it's just, there's, like, no narration, and it's just a bunch of behind-the-scenes footage.
Okay.
I forget, maybe it's 20-minute, half-hour, something like that. It's just great, great stuff. Still doesn't have the making of Temple of Doom. It has the making of from the DVD set that came out like in 2005, 2006,
okay.
Does not have the one that was on in 84 that was on public television. And I remember for Last Crusade, it was either Sears or like Montgomery Ward's or somebody became like an Indiana Jones headquarters when Last Crusade came out.
Okay.
And they had the hat and they had t-shirts and they had different versions of the jacket and like, you know, windbreakers and things like that. And they had a monitor up.
The indie windbreaker?
Something like that. They had they had this monitor up that like ran behind the scenes footage for Last Crusade on a loop, on like a 30-minute loop almost, I think. And like, I'd love to see that stuff. It's just, it's peppered in there in the making of that's, they transferred over from the old set.
Have you seen that chunk since Montgomery Ward?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I just remember
Who's
it being
that?
Extensive. And so that kind of, but the Bond thing really pisses me off.
Oh, wow.
Because this was supposed to be all the movies on Blu-ray. As far as I know, each one would have all the stuff that was on the DVD release way back.
Right.
So there were DVDs.
Because this is the 50th anniversary.
50th
right?
anniversary.
So it's supposed to be the definitive box set.
Right. And when they came out with these DVDs in four different box sets back when Casino Royale came out, they're amazing. I mean, they have an extensive amount of stuff, and each one has a making of. Each one has a behind, you know, the making of Goldfinger, the making of Thunderball, whatever. Great, great stuff. Thunderball, I think, Doctor No, Goldfinger, and From Russia with Love, I think, originally came out on a Criterion Laserdisc.
Okay.
And so some of that stuff was even transferred, as far as I remember, to these DVDs. So they were
the
really
previous
extensive.
Box set.
The previous box sets.
Yeah.
So all that stuff is there. And then what they were touting with this anniversary box set was this additional disc, which was unique to the Blu-ray box set, which was going to have all this great stuff on it. Now, nowhere in the literature did it say everything is brand new, brand spanking new on this bonus disc, but it was like, you know, behind Bond.
You know,
all the actors talk about, you know, the you know, being Bond, and that to me sounds like each actor sat down for a new interview and talked about the anniversary and what it meant to play the character, whatever. And you look at this disc and it's like these different sections on it, the gadgets, and you hit that and it's literally a montage of gadgets that were used throughout the films, like clips of it, the opening titles. You think it's going to be a behind the scenes of the opening titles of each film. No, it just runs through the opening titles from each film for an hour. You know, and it's like stuff like that that you go, wow. So there's literally the only piece of new content I've been able to find on this bonus disc is this sort of sort of a thing. There's some museum that's doing or that did a retrospective for the 50th anniversary of like costumes and sets and designs and stuff, and they kind of walk you through that, and it's about 8 minutes or so.
Okay.
And that's it. Everything else on there seems to be recycled in some way from stuff that exists.
Yikes.
You know, like the villains, you know, and it's just like there's just a section, like a run through of the villains, like in different things that they're doing in different movies for like 12 minutes or something. Yeah, it's kind of a, I mean, that's not the sole reason to get it, obviously.
Right, right.
And if you get it through Amazon, there's like an abridged version of this Bond movie poster book. Mm-hmm. That comes with the set, so it's cool to have them all and everything. But they're not like an upgrade from what already exists. Just the Blu-ray thing.
And did you pick up the Avengers DVD?
I picked up the Avengers DVD.
Did you get the Target one that had the extra disc?
No, what's on that?
There's supposed to be a fifth thing that a fifth disc that it comes with. That's all bonus, extra bonus material that's exclusive to Target.
No, I got the Best Buy thing with the box and like the book and the
and
all that stuff. I just picked that. In fact, I even forgot it was coming out that day. Like I just kind of, you know, grabbed it. And there's some cool stuff on there too. Like, but when it comes to the older stuff, like I want for the indie thing, I really thought we were gonna get all that stuff that we were meant. We get the trailers and we get all the stuff that sort of came.
But you knew from the big Star Wars set that they're not doing that. They're not culling the archive.
No,
that
I
deep.
Know. I just thought for Blu-ray that they would. I mean, there's not nearly as much.
You've
as
already
the Star
been
Wars
once
stuff.
Bitten.
The Star Wars, but I never bought the Star Wars stuff. And the Star Wars stuff, there's so much out there that's not being given to us, I think is ridiculous. With indie, I don't think there's a ton of stuff. You know what I mean? I think there's some making ofs, and there must have been a making of. Like, there was a thing for Last Crusade. There was a TV special. Do you remember this? Hosted by Dennis Weaver.
Yeah.
And it was sort of...
There was a bunch of those specials back then, like Monsters, Mad Men, and Machines. I think that was hosted by Gil Gerard. And
there was the one that was done... There was the making of Raiders.
Right.
Okay. And then there was...
Which I may still have on
VHS.
Well, taping it off the air.
Which also came on the VHS. Okay, you taped it off the air. When it came out on video cassette, I think it came out in the mid-80s, but when Last Crusade came out on video cassette... They put out a double VHS, like on one VHS, The Making of Raiders and Great Stunts. And, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Great Stunts and something, something. Yeah. And The Making of, I think, was hosted by... No, I'm sorry. The Stunt thing, I think, was hosted by Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford,
The Making of was just a making of, I think. Those are not on the DVD. The Making of Raiders is, but the Stunt special isn't. That I had to get burned onto DVD. And then for Last Crusade, they also had this like some kind of it was a making of, but it was something else to do with effects or something. And Dennis Flippin' Weaver hosted it. It was a TV thing, but it came out on video cassette.
Okay,
like that's a piece of memorabilia from 1989 that's not on the DVD set. So stuff like that's disappointing. You know, I always think that there's going to be something definitive happening and. Doesn't happen.
Not a thing.
Unfortunately. When Criterion put those Bond ones out, they had so much stuff on there, they got in trouble because they, you know, they had like commercials for Bond bread. There was a bread out called Bond. It had nothing to do with Bond, but just called Bond bread.
Okay.
And they had tie-in commercials where they'd have someone that, you know, like supposed to be Bond making a sandwich or something in the 60s. They took stuff like that and stuck it on the Criterion discs, and they never got permission for it, apparently.
Oh.
So those Criterion Laserdiscs became... really expensive to track down and they had so much stuff on there
because of the Bond sandwich,
because of that, and like there was other like behind the scenes stuff that didn't get cleared or something. So Criterion used to do really extensive stuff on some of their laser discs, but it's sad that all these years later that stuff is still definitive. And Lucasfilm, you know,
Laserdisc seemed to be kind of a renegade format. There was a lot of stuff that came out on Laserdisc.
Oh, yeah.
That we never got anywhere else.
Oh, yeah.
And never again.
And Laserdisc was the only...
Not just like the Criterion or the Bond. I mean, there's a lot of things like that that cropped up on Laserdisc that we've never seen again.
Well, they also did... They did things in... I mean, the whole reason I got a Laserdisc player was widescreen.
Yes.
Like, it was the only way to see stuff in widescreen.
Yeah.
Because you didn't, you know, no VHS was done that way.
Yeah.
And they did. And, of course, it was a drag to flip it and everything. But they had trailers on there, and they had some, you know, make it, all the Criterion stuff had screen tests and, you know, all kinds of great stuff that eventually a lot of it got transferred to DVD, but there's a lot of stuff floating around out there that you have to go to YouTube for.
It's true.
Unfortunately. Like, I'll bet this indie stuff you can go right to YouTube and find.
Probably so.
But not, you know, it'll be all grainy on YouTube, but not a nice pristine Blu-ray thing. So anyway, there's a lot going on.
That's
information-wise.
True.
So yes. Let's get started with what we're excited about.
Okay.
Why don't you get started?
What am I excited about?
What are you excited about?
Well, one thing, I mean, I kind of mentioned it last week, but tonight is the big premiere of Batman Live here in Los Angeles.
And you're going.
I'm
live.
Going.
We're live.
Going,
you'll
we're
be
going
there
down live.
Live.
Yep. We're on the red carpet. So we're going to interview some folks. We got credentials for that.
Who's going to be there?
There's a lot of people going to be there, actually. Kevin Smith will be there.
Kevin Smith?
I should have printed up that sheet.
There's a whole Adam West? Sheet.
Adam West, I don't believe, is going to
Burt
be
Ward?
There.
Burt Ward?
No.
Cesar Romero?
No. Jim Lee will be there.
Jim Lee? Because he wrote the thing? Or no, designed
he
the thing?
He designed, designed a lot of the costumes and stuff.
Right.
So a couple of the cast of Glee will be there.
Hey, you don't want to miss that.
I know. Like the principal, Iqbal, will be there.
The fact that you know the principal's name on Glee makes me a little nervous about you.
I know that.
I know you watch a lot of stuff.
No, I know that because I know him.
Of course you did.
I went to college with him.
Of course you did.
I did.
Sure you did. Who else is going to be there?
Becky from Glee.
Sure.
She's going to be there.
All
and
right.
And like the kid that does the Jewish TV broadcast.
From Glee?
From Glee. He's going to be there.
I know not.
The mom from Wizards of Waverly Place. She's going to be there.
No? I didn't know you watched all
those
shows.
One of the girls next door is going to be there. Kendra.
Oh, don't want to miss that.
I know. She'll be there.
Come to an envelope opening. That'll be fun.
But you know who's not going to be there? Richard Grieco.
Richard Grieco couldn't make it?
I don't know. Because I told that story, didn't I? That he showed up at the Comic-Con movie premiere and his publicist insisted that we talk to him.
Yeah.
And it was the most uncomfortable 10 minutes of my life.
Well,
as he wanted to talk to us and then gave one word answers.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he's a rebel.
He is a rebel.
He's a
But apparently he
rebel.
Used to read a lot of Image comics as a younger man, so he thought he should be at this premiere.
He thought he should be at this premiere, but he's not going to be there.
Well, no, he was at the Comic-Con.
Oh, the Comic-Con.
He just kind of showed up. He was not on the list.
I thought he'd be at the
but
Image
But he showed
one
up and walked the line.
Jim Lee. So he thought he should be there. So how does that work? Like, he calls somebody and says, hey, can I get on the red carpet for this thing? Or his publicist
does? I think
does?
His publicist just showed up with him and said, here's Richard Grieco, and pushed him through on everyone.
He's a very busy man.
He is. That's true.
He's got a lot going on.
But there's also a lot of, like, Warner Brothers execs. They just updated the list today. So, like, the head of consumer products, he's going to be there.
And where is this going to be held?
This is going to be at the Staples Center downtown.
Wow, that's a big venue.
Oh, yeah.
For how long is it there?
I think it's 3 nights here in L.A.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it'd be longer.
Yeah, it was in Anaheim a couple of weeks back.
And it's not a musical.
Not a musical. It's kind of like a Cirque du Soleil stunt show with an original storyline.
Mm.
There's like a Batmobile that drives around. I mean, it's like a big production.
Wow.
It's not like Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
Huh.
I'm not going to sing. And
that's still going, isn't it?
That is, a version of that is still going.
I mean, they were in trouble for a while, but it seems like
it's
going to run forever now.
And it's also not going to be like, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman.
That's a shame.
The Superman musical.
Because that's a classic.
From the 70s.
That was a TV special.
They did do it as a TV special eventually.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, was it that popular that they did a TV special?
It was Superman. Everything was Superman.
I suppose. But that was before the movie.
It was right before, wasn't
yeah,
it?
They put, they did the TV special like right before. And it's on the DVD set.
Is it really?
Yeah. I'm almost positive it's on that
I'll
DVD
have to look
set.
Look at that. I've got that set.
It's got, it's got the Super Pup pilot from the
60s. Yeah.
It's got loads of TV specials, all the making ofs, the 1, 2, and 3, those making ofs.
Yeah.
I think there's one that's like hosted by Robert Urich, or maybe that's Batman Returns. There's a making of Batman Returns hosted by Robert Urich. I love all that stuff.
You clearly do.
Well, but when you had to go to the, you know, when it was like, you know, the movie's coming up, there's a TV special on, you know, ABC or whatever on the making of.
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to get all that. All that, like all the making ofs.
You have YouTube right there.
Metal Storm.
Okay. The making of Metal Storm.
Making of Metal Storm.
It's a 3D adventure.
What's the Barry Bostwick one?
Rocky Horror Picture.
No, the one. Come on. Megaforce.
Oh, Megaforce.
Should be a making of Megaforce.
Yeah.
I'd watch that once. You know, they made Hot
Wheels.
About,
what was that other awful one? Battle Beyond the Stars?
Battle Beyond the Stars, Roger Corman.
Had John...
Roger Corman, and the script was written by John Sayles.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was doing a lot
of that
I saw
that in the theater.
He did that with Corman. He did Alligator. John Sayles wrote the script for Alligator.
Okay.
Which I think was Roger... Maybe it was not produced by Roger Corman. But it was one of those... It was a Roger Corman-esque...
Yeah.
It sounds like something he would do, because it was like a response to Jaws.
Right.
Get an alligator to walk around the city.
Yes.
And it's a great movie, because the script is hilarious.
Yes.
It's very, very John Sayles. So you're excited about Batman.
I'm excited about that tonight. Yeah, that's
very
I'm doing
exciting.
Tonight. Yeah, yeah.
Very cool.
So we'll probably have some interviews next time for that.
Off the red carpet.
Off the red carpet,
maybe
that's
Richard Grieco will show up.
Oh, I hope so. Never so what know. Are you excited about, tough guy?
Well, I'm excited. I sort of found a white whale this past week.
Tell me more.
Yeah, it's not nearly as exciting and expensive as the thing you were talking about a couple weeks ago.
Oh, the Man-Bat?
The Man-Bat thing.
Right.
But Lone Star, I've talked about this before, Lone Star is a company in England. I think they're defunct. But in the 60s and 70s, mainly 60s, they were sort of to, you know, cap guns and, you know, spy sets and things like that. In the 60s, what Mego was to toys in the early 70s. Like,
okay.
I've got catalogs from like 66, 68, and 69, copies of these catalogs. They had the licenses for, you know, Thunderbirds, Captain Scarlet, Doctor Who, James mm-hmm. Bond, Man from U.N.C.L.E., The Saint, Burke's Law, The Avengers, not the comic Avengers, but the TV
right.
Avengers, Adam Adamant, all these things. And I've got, for example, I've got a John Steed sword stick, which came out in 66, and it's his cane that pulls out into a plastic sword. And it's so rare that, I mean, there's images on the internet. You can eventually find it, but it's incredibly rare and very expensive. And it doesn't even have the header card punch. Like, I got it from a guy in England that found it in Sri Lanka or something. So, but you look in these catalogs, and there's stuff in here that I've looked for 25 years and never even found an image of.
Okay.
And there's some stuff to this day that if you Google the images on the internet, you will not find a picture of it. Like, I can't believe an Adamant sword stick doesn't exist somewhere, and there isn't a picture of it somewhere.
You put a picture up?
Because these things in the catalog are, first off, it's black and white.
Okay.
And they're literally, they're like drawings.
Okay.
It's like they took a photograph of it and they sort of drew it then in the catalog almost.
Right.
It's hard to explain.
Well, it's kind of like the old Joe Kubert. You know,
kind
those,
of
those catalogs.
Yes,
stuff.
It is kind of like those, yeah. Like the comics world or whatever they're yeah. called, or Heroes World.
Heroes World.
So, you know, I've just every now and then on eBay over the years, I'd look for something from The Saint, and The Saint is the show. The character that's been around since the 30s, but in the 60s, Roger Moore was Simon Templar, The Saint. I always say he was a better.
Wasn't Val Kilmer The Saint?
Well, they eventually made a movie in the 90s because Roger Moore bought the rights to all those shows, and he had the rights to the character.
Okay.
So Roger Moore was Simon Templar before he was James Bond.
Uh huh.
And I always say he was a better Simon Templar than he was Bond, much as I love him as Bond, because he was just this suave. He was kind of a thief, and he just sort of helped people every episode. And this was a huge, huge show, and Lone Star made a bunch of merchandise. A gun with a silencer and a scope, a gun with a holster, a spy set, all this stuff. I literally have been looking for 25 years in different places, never found a stitch of Saint merchandise from the 60s. And the other day I just was doing the Google thing and somebody had this Saint Luger, like with a scope and a silencer on the card.
Oh, wow.
From 66.
Yeah.
And didn't have much information. And it was at this eBay-type auction. And when you go look at it, you think, well, it's going to be gone because this is a two-year-old picture or something.
Yeah.
You know? And it was still available.
Wow.
So I took the plunge and...
You have it in hand yet?
I do not have it in hand yet.
Okay.
But...
You have to bring it in. We'll open it
I
up.
I feel guilty about it. I'm going to sell a bunch of stuff to just make room for it, basically.
You mean to pay for it?
No, not even, because it was, believe me, the way you're talking about your thing, it's not that bad. But I do feel a little guilty, so I just want to sell a couple things and
I see.
Transfer the funds, sort of. But it's really cool, because it's just, I've literally, and I don't even really, like I say, I don't, it's just like, you know, I don't really collect this stuff anymore the way I used to years ago, but it's so rare and bizarre to find it, I just sort of had to get it. So
fair enough.
That was pretty exciting.
That's nice. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Finding things like that's always a delight.
Yeah.
Marking it off your list.
Yeah. And did you ever anything ever happen with that man bat again?
Not yet, no.
Okay. Well, no. We're all rooting for you.
Thank you.
We've all got our fingers crossed.
Open.
Yeah. So what else have you been up to?
Well, let's see. Dexter and Homeland return this weekend.
Homeland won the...
it won a lot.
Won the Emmy.
Yeah.
Right? For best drama?
It did. But also Claire Danes and Damian Lewis. He won.
Right.
So, yeah. That's did you watch that season?
No. I watched a couple episodes.
Okay.
But I didn't.
It was very well done.
Yeah.
Very well crafted.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that coming back.
I remember her as... oh, man. What was that movie?
Juliet?
No, she like, oh, Tom, working with cows. What's that movie that she did?
Oh, Temple Grandin.
Temple Grandin. Yeah. Oh, get away from me. I'm working with cows. Oh. That whole thing that she did. I thought that was great. She did good. Didn't she win like...
She won stuff for that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Claire and she got on stage with Temple.
She did. Temple inserts herself into any time she's mentioned.
I remember first seeing that on a bus stop. Like the poster for it.
Yes.
And it was so, it's such a goofy picture, and like whatever was written, like, you let your dreams take you, you know, whatever. I thought it was like a prop that had been put up to film for another movie. Do you know what
right.
I mean?
Yes.
Like, I remember driving down Sunset, like in the mid 90s, seeing a billboard for Napoleon, okay, with Danny DeVito.
Okay.
On the poster.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's that? That's a joke. Is he like really doing Napoleon on TV or something? And then like a year later, seeing it in Get Shorty, the character he was playing in Get Shorty, they're driving down Sunset and there's a billboard, which I think you'd probably do now digitally. You'd probably just stick it up there.
Yeah.
But absolutely. They actually put that billboard up. And for like a week, I was going, is he doing Napoleon on TV or something? So I thought that's what it was. And then when I saw the previews, I went, oh, it's a real person.
Oh, look there.
Yeah, Temple Grandin.
Sweet, sweet.
So, yeah.
Grandin. So those are coming back.
She's got Emmys coming out her nose.
More Dexter season, is it six now?
17.
Really?
Season 17. Yeah. Season six, and everything's different now because the sister.
But do we don't need to say that.
It's all over the previews.
But if people haven't caught up yet.
If they haven't caught up, how can they be watching Showtime and seeing
all right, then you tell
every
them.
Preview that's
tell
showing?
Them. Tell them.
And every billboard that's up.
Here's the Dexter spoilers in case you haven't caught up.
The sister.
Jason's going to.
Well, blame Showtime because the billboards are up.
I'm not blaming Showtime. I'm blaming you.
The magazine ads literally say,
right here,
the sister found out. Everybody listening, the sister knows that Dexter's a killer. There.
I didn't even know he was a killer.
There you go. Now we'll see what happens now that the sister found out. Finally, somebody finds out.
Send your emails to jason@geekshellandherald.com.
I think it's kind of overdue, to be honest with you, that somebody close to him hasn't discovered this.
Right.
And I didn't see that. Cliffhanger. So I don't know exactly what happened. No.
Really?
You did?
Well, yeah.
Well, what happened?
He was killing off Tom Hanks Jr.
All right. Colin Hanks.
Colin Hanks,
right.
Yes. Whacking him in a church.
Right.
Because turns out he was the bad guy.
Whacking.
Whacking.
Okay.
He's whacking him, cutting him up.
Yep.
And sister walked in.
And
he's
say?
In his full garb. She drew her gun and said, Dexter? And then it went.
And he said, what are you doing here?
And then, yeah, went to the
this
credits.
Is awkward.
See you next year.
All right. We'll see what happens.
Yep.
It's crazy.
So,
so
yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, I saw a movie. I went to the movies.
Oh, you did?
Just recently.
Okay.
Haven't been in a while.
I haven't seen anything since Dark Knight, quite frankly.
You know, that might be... No, I saw The Campaign.
Oh, that's right.
I saw that, which is very funny. I saw Dread over the weekend.
You saw the Judge Dredd film.
I saw the Judge Dredd film called Dredd.
Okay.
With my buddy Stuart, who
as I like to call it, Boba Fett with a mouth.
Who is Scottish.
Yes.
And so he grew up with this, you know, comic book.
Yeah.
He loved it. He just loved it.
Okay.
It was great.
Did he like the Stallone version?
No.
Okay.
No. It's funny though, there's a lot of stuff in the Stallone version that's pretty accurate. Like a lot of the characters came out of the books and some of the costumes
I think was more accurate.
But it was pretty accurate. This one is very much a different movie and it's very toned down in the look of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really interesting about it, and I know this came from reading about it a little bit primarily from the budget, but also to distinguish itself, it's creepy how much it just kind of looks like now. It looks like now with... In other words, when he's, you know, driving through the city on a motorcycle, it could be Detroit. You know what I mean? Like downtown Detroit or something. It doesn't... There's not, like, a lot of stuff flying in the air and neon everywhere, and it's got that Blade Runner look to it with flying cars and stuff.
Yeah,
it's not like that.
Okay.
It's very, very gritty, and it sort of looks like a current city somewhere, but slightly in the future. The buildings are slightly different. Some of the tech is different, you know. And it really tried to distinguish itself to be a different film than the other one, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Urban never takes his helmet off. So it's,
which you're not supposed to. That's
which,
right.
Which he never was supposed to do. Yep. And he's great. He does a great, great job. And the woman that's in it, whose name escapes me, but she's playing Judge Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
She's blonde, but I think she's a brunette in everything else she's done. I can't think of her name, but she's young and everything. And I thought it was going to be this kind of a lame character that they're going to play with, and oh, she's haunted and this and that, and oh, come on, rookie, come with me. And it was great. Hmm. She did a great job. You know, it's got a dark. It's almost like Precinct on 13, Assault on Precinct 13, the John Carpenter movie. It's kind of like that, where it's like a standalone thing. It's not this big. We're going to change the... You remember how the movie was? We're going to change the world and bring in these clones and everything is going to change the whole city. We're going to take over the whole... This is a very much compartmentalized story about these two judges that get stuck in this area of the city.
Okay.
And that's kind of all I'll say. So it's very much like you're reading a comic and it's like a standalone comic story almost.
And did you see it in 3D or 2D?
Did not see it in 3D. No, okay. I saw it in 2D. It is, however, incredibly violent.
Oh,
like incredibly dark and violent, and so very much like the comics. I mean, the comics can get very, very dark, but there's no like mutants in it. They mention mutants, and she's got this telepathic thing with which Anderson does, but it's not. It's really almost like 10 years in the future, kind of. It's hard to explain.
Okay,
but it's definitely worth. If you're not going to see it in the theater, it's definitely worth a rental, and it's definitely Judge Dredd. It definitely feels like that.
Because not a lot of people would see that. I think it only made $6.5 million.
I'm shocked that it even got made again. Yeah. To be honest with you, it's just not. It's not a character that's a household name. It's not.
They had a booth at Kamikaze.
Oh yeah.
That was a banner. People that, you know, I don't know who they were, sitting at a table and then like a monitor on a stand running the trailer, and that was it. They weren't giving anything away. They weren't talking to people.
Really?
It was just like the banner, the vinyl banner that had his kind of face. It looked like graffiti, and then showing the trailer.
That's weird.
Yeah, but they rented space at Kamikaze for that.
And were people like going up and saying, hey, where's your free stuff?
No, they just kind of watched the trailer for a little bit and then wandered away.
There were giveaways at Comic-Con. I think there was like a badge pin that was given away and some other stuff. And I think they were at the 2000 AD booth.
But he doesn't have like the big eagle shoulders and stuff like that in this.
No, it just looks like a guy in like
a black jumpsuit with a helmet.
Like SWAT gear almost.
Okay.
You know? But they've got the belt with all the different stuff. And he's got the lawgiver, you know, the gun.
Yeah.
And the helmet is, you know, toned down.
Is the motorcycle just a motorcycle?
It's pretty much just a motorcycle.
Floaty motorcycle.
No, pretty much just a motorcycle. Okay. I mean, like I say, in many ways... The 95 movie got things pretty accurate, you know, with, like you said, the costumes and the bike and the helmet, even Stallone's face. If you get a shot, if you put them next to each other, the shot of Stallone's face with the mouth and then Urban's, they're both trying to do that Dredd thing, and Stallone actually pulls it off, you know, better.
But then he takes his helmet off.
Then he takes his helmet off the rest of the movie.
And teaches kids.
How to play.
No, how to be...
Cops.
How to be cops.
And like Balthazar Getty is in it.
Yes.
Remember him? He was like a young judge. And,
yep.
And, but a lot of the characters and the older judges and the robot and the bad guys, they were from the book.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, look, it's not terrible. It's not the worst thing you've ever seen. And it's just like the main problem with it is Rob Schneider. They took this character and everything he says is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he's this ridiculous character. Yeah. And there's no need for it in the movie. And it just gets worse from there, kind of.
He was red hot back then, though.
Schneider?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was before the... Was it the hot girl or the new girl? What's the one he did where he was the girl?
He's a girl in everything, isn't
he? Well, no, he was like... No, the spirit of a girl was in him, and...
Yeah.
He was... Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll get to see Dredd. I think the next thing I'm going to go see is Argo. I'm really looking forward to that.
That looks good.
I've read great things about Argo.
So. And you know what's funny? We were talking about him a while back, and the town... was on HBO or something the other day.
It was Ben Affleck who we're talking about.
Yeah, and I caught like the last, I don't know, 30 minutes or so. It's a damn good movie.
It is, yeah.
And he does, he's great in it, and, you know, because of the stuff he's done, you know, I would see Argo. Do you know what I mean? Like, if this was the Pearl Harbor Ben Affleck,
Right, yes.
And I saw a poster for Argo, I'd be like, forget it, I'm not.
Yeah.
But those movies I've seen him do, I think he's got...
Yeah, the things he's directed
yeah.
have been very good.
Yeah,
he directs and stars in this as well. So.
Seems like a smart guy.
Yeah.
So, what's this about Hobbit figures?
Hobbit figures are leaking out.
What?
The street date is October 1st, but they're starting
Hobbit
to
Hobbit toys
shows.
Are coming out October 1st?
Yes.
And the movie comes out Christmas?
Yeah.
Good gravy.
But that always happens. You always try and get the... You're trying to sell... What was it? Jesse told me the number one time. Toy Biz. They try and do 40, at least 45% wow. of sales happen before the movie comes out.
I just didn't realize
so you try and get your movies in 3 months... Your figures in stores 3 months before the movie hits.
Yeah. It's funny. When I found that Alfred, it was like March.
Yeah.
And the movie came out, what, July or something?
It was in July. Yeah.
I think I found it like in March.
Yep.
Again, the only time I've ever seen Alfred on the shelves. Been what, a year now almost?
Yeah.
Not a good run for Mattel.
Well, they didn't saying. Put very many Alfreds out because he's an old guy in a suit.
But clearly people want him because he's going for a fortune.
And you have
on
him.
The that's not the point. People want
you
him.
You got him. I got
him.
Because
he's going for a fortune on the internet. See, so what you're saying is, as long as you and I get it, it doesn't matter.
Do you know
the
someone
rest
else that needs one?
I know people on the internet are complaining about it. They can't find him.
Are
I'm
they?
Just saying.
I'm saying there's people selling.
Are you
stuff,
telling me you don't think?
But are people buying?
You don't think it's unusual that I've only seen it once in the store since March.
You don't get out that much.
Okay, you've always got an answer for this.
I'm just saying.
You hate the fact that the Star Wars stuff is unavailable and the distribution is terrible.
It
but
is.
An one Alfred, you turn into an old. Well, how come I can't find the cop?
Well,
that's
those...
been out since that was on. I could have bought that at Comic-Con
right.
in July.
Yeah.
Well, why can't I find him?
Because you haven't got on Amazon and bought him.
No. Why can't I find him in the stores?
Because it's full of Batman.
Why is it full of Batman?
Because they packed him 4 and 6 to the case, depending on
so
the case.
So that's a mistake, then. There should be more cops out there for people to buy.
Well, no, the cops came in a later case, because Warner Brothers
so
would
all
not
the cops
let them
are
put,
there, but all the cops are there. I mean,
all the
Batman
cops
are,
in the donut
all
shops
the Batman are
saying,
there.
Way-o.
And no cops will get there because these Batman won't get sold.
Well, why do you need cops if you have Batman?
You see what you're doing?
What?
You're being evasive.
I'm not.
Because you know I'm right. You are. You're making
no, I've choices. Said that. I've said that, you know, it's tough to find those last figures because the first case shipped so heavy.
Okay.
And,
anyway.
But no, I'll give you this, too. They did not ship Alfred to Target. I think that's a problem, too. That made him really tough to find.
Right.
He was not in those cases.
What about Catwoman?
Catwoman was in, like, the mid-case.
Never seen her in a store.
Oh.
Never seen her in any version of the store. I saw her all over Comic-Con. That's where I bought her.
Yeah.
Both versions were everywhere at Comic-Con. You couldn't give them away at Comic-Con. In a store, a retail store, I've never seen either version of her in the store.
She's also on Amazon if you need her.
Yeah, I know, but she's not in the stores. That's the point.
That is a store.
That's a problem.
Just go online.
That's a problem.
This is the way things are changing.
But why is
so
it,
many Walmarts look like drugstore toy aisles
but
now?
But why does it anger you about Star Wars and not Mattel?
I'm angry about all of it. It's a sad state of affairs. I feel like the toy aisles are imploding, and online is the only way to find stuff.
Okay. Anyway, Avengers DVD. What else? Okay, so did you get any of these Hobbit figures?
I have not seen them yet. Jeremy from Spy Monkey has, and another buddy of mine, Matt.
And these are...
Who is also a listener. Matt, who I met this past weekend at PowerCon, finally. Known him online for a long time. Never met him face-to-face. And he is lobbying for a 3-hour Geek Shall Inherit episode.
God bless you, Matt.
Because he has a long commute.
Which one? Who's Matt? What's the last name?
Matt Stein.
Oh, yeah. I think I've talked to him online.
Yeah.
Or sent little messages. Hi, Matt. Good to know you. Sort of.
So that was a shout-out to Matt, right?
There you
but
go,
he
Matt.
Found them at Toys R Us today.
And
they're... Like a 4-pack.
They're 3¾-inch and... 6-inch or something? Or?
That's right. They're doing both. So far, I've only heard of people finding the 3¾-inch ones.
And only, like, you say, like, in a 4-pack, or...?
That's what I've seen primarily so far, yes.
Okay.
But those, the street date on them is October 1st, so you'll probably see them a lot more.
Eventually.
Everywhere.
And then the Halloween costumes will come out, all the Hobbit costumes.
That is true.
All the kids are going to want to be Bilbo this year for Halloween.
Yes. Yes, they will.
What did I see the other day? I saw a Bane Halloween costume.
Okay.
I saw a Bane...
Like for kids?
For a kid.
Okay.
A Bane Halloween costume and I think a Men in Black Halloween costume. Whatever happened to Men in Black?
Crush like, your city it, and let it die?
Did that third one do anything?
Boy, the toys sure tanked.
No, they did
nothing.
And I thought they were great.
I know. You brought some in. You
really found fun.
But yeah.
So
I feel like the movie did okay.
I don't know. I feel like it should be on DVD by now.
That's probably
Didn't it come
be
out
soon.
Like in June or something?
Yeah. They'll probably, you know, for the holidays.
Speaking of Avengers, did you get the Avengers on DVD?
I haven't yet. I need to.
Okay. Well, you know that that thing that was going to come out. This is what really disappoints me about DVD. There was going to be this Nick Fury attaché case that
right.
was coming out.
Yeah.
And the case I can do without because I
you would love the case.
Oh, I would.
You
but
love
it's,
that
it's
crap.
The kind of thing that like when you go to put stuff on a shelf, like I've got the Inception one. And it's just this little case, and it's like, well, how do you fit it in with the rest of the DVDs? But the contents,
yeah,
really cool. Like the packaging, they did special packaging for all the Blu-ray, all the Marvel movies in Blu-ray. So you got them all.
It was everything that led up to Avengers.
Yeah, all on Blu-ray with special packaging with different designs on the covers.
Yeah,
and then it came with like the cube that lit up,
the cosmic cube,
and little things like, you know, I think like Thor's hospital bracelet or something, and Steve Rogers' file, you know, and things like that.
I notice you're not wearing your Iron Man bracelet anymore. What happened to that?
I'm not today because I was doing stuff at the house before you called me to come out here.
Okay.
And still unpacking, if you must
right.
get personal. So all that stuff got canceled because the case was made by some German company or something, and apparently somebody at, I don't know, Disney or Marvel, whatever, no one checked with the case company and said, hey, can we make this? And
I heard it just got pushed back. I didn't hear it was canceled.
No. It got pushed back, but yeah. The reason it did was the case designer or manufacturer got upset that they didn't get permission to make this thing.
So now they're just going to give it to you like in a paper sack?
They haven't
stuff,
said.
Or?
They've said it's been, Amazon said it's been delayed.
Okay.
They haven't said whether the case is going to be with it or not.
Just going to ask you to like hold out your t-shirt and they'll kind of dump all this stuff.
Yeah,
into
just
the
a
pouch.
Truck's going to come by your house and just throw stuff
lob
out.
That onto the. But it's got both Iron Man, Thor, Captain America.
Yep.
And
Hulk.
One of the Hulk or both Hulk?
I think it's got the
just
second
Incredible Hulk.
Hulk. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So all the stuff that had the teasers that led up to, you know,
yeah.
all the movies and the Avengers and everything. And so my question is to the people out there, do you care about stuff like this?
That kind of special packaging?
Yeah, like a suitcase or like a special robot head or something that, you know, like those alien sets that come out. It's like the alien, you know, and then you flip out the disc from behind it. It's like an alien head. My buddy Eric has the Planet of the Apes set.
Yeah.
He mainly got it for the monkey head, because it's Cornelius's head
right.
with real monkey hair, not monkey hair, but real hair.
Right.
And then the DVD, so he could care less about the DVDs.
So he watches the movie and pets the little case.
He might.
Okay.
I don't know. Might sit next to him on the couch.
Right.
You know, his little friend. So I wonder if people how much they care about stuff like that, because I know they don't make nearly as much of it as the other stuff.
And are you just talking about like specialty packaging, or are you talking about just all the stuff that comes with it? Because you can get like, you know, the big Jurassic Park set came with like the gates with like a dinosaur sticking out of it, like
yeah.
Gentle Giant does some
stuff like that. Like that's a that's like, okay, the
and
movie
like King Kong had like King Kong fighting a dinosaur
right. so
and the Gentle Giant
the
made.
Movie comes out
right.
on DVD and it's in like four different formats, and then like the fourth one or the fifth one, whatever it is the Lord of the Rings, you know, it's like Mordor or something, or like a you know, replica of
yeah.
the city, the elves, or whatever, and then the DVDs are inside it or something like that. Is that something that people generally care about?
Because I got the, I think it was the Dark Knight Returns, or the Dark Knight, what was the last one? Just the Dark Knight.
The
Dark Knight
right.
on DVD, and it was like a mask.
I got that one.
Batman mask,
yep,
and then they did.
But
the
that
first,
came with an extra disc.
Was it Iron Man 1 or Iron Man 2? That was like Iron Man's face.
Iron
too.
Man
it was like
2.
A Target exclusive.
I think Iron Man 2.
Okay.
And then Best Buy did some really neat Watchmen sets.
Oh, yeah.
Like they did Blu-ray and regular. They did Rorschach. It was a mask, you
yeah.
know, like a face case. And Dr. Manhattan was the Blu-ray one.
It was a wiener.
And then there was
a blue wiener.
Ship, the Owl Ship.
Okay.
Remember that on Amazon?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You were looking for that thing.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah.
Because it's like the only piece that was made for the movie, you know, like
yeah.
a ship or toy or something. And it, you know, it lights up and makes, you know, noise from the movie. And then in the base are all the Blu-ray discs.
Nope.
I just wonder if people really care about that stuff.
I don't know.
I get it now and then.
Let's do a poll.
Let's throw it out there. And at the same, if we might as well throw this out now since we're talking about it, on the same token.
Yes.
This is our what episode? 42nd?
This is 41.
41.
Yes.
So we're coming up on 50.
We are.
Which means we're coming up on a year. Do you realize that?
That is true.
That's even weirder.
I've got some fun stuff to some audio to play when we do our 50th episode.
Uh-oh.
I found the voicemail you left me. I think it was in September, because we started in December.
Uh-huh.
Of like, hey, are we going to get this thing together? What's going on? We've been talking about it for a year.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God. I've still got it on my phone.
So wow, I'd like to
we'll
hear that.
We'll play that.
I'd like to hear that before it gets played, in case I drop any racial slurs.
So what we want to ask people what they think we should do.
Yeah,
for
the 50th episode coming up, or should we just make it the year episode? We should do 50, right?
I think 50 is a milestone.
Okay, we'll do 50. So for this 50th episode,
yes,
for the 12 of you that are listening, what do you think we should do with this
episode? A world tour.
Yeah, should we do it in French?
We do it live in cities across a nation.
Right.
It's different every night.
But saying we couldn't do that,
okay,
for some reason.
All right, right.
What should we do within the episode? You know, should we just run clips of old episodes?
Right. Remember when?
Do like a clip show?
Yeah.
Should we
pantsless?
Play
pantsless
Scrabble?
Episode we talked about.
Pantsless. Well, you're old pantsless every episode.
So that happens a lot.
For you, it'd be shirtless and pantless.
Right.
You know, should we play Pictionary?
Oh, I'd like
Which
that.
Is great.
Yeah.
It's a great audio game.
Yeah, that is a great
people
audio game.
People love that.
Yeah, so what so do people think?
Send us your ideas.
Yeah.
On postcards.
Love to hear. No, not on postcards.
No.
You can post it on the Facebook page.
Post on the Facebook page.
You can tweet us.
Well, tweet Daniel.
Tweet it.
I don't enjoy that
tweet?
Sort of thing.
Or you can email it to us. Or you can leave it in the comments section of this episode.
And, you know, it can be silly, it can be whatever, but it has to be realistic, like what we can actually do.
Yeah.
And how we should sort of do it.
Because we're completely out of ideas.
Exactly. Keep it on a couple of topics, you know? One topic, just spend the whole time talking about the death of Robin.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That'd be great.
I don't know. Anyway, speaking of deaths.
Were we?
Yeah, we were.
Okay.
Doctor Who is on, as you
That's
know.
Right, yep.
The new season of Doctor Who.
Yep.
And I think it's been okay. But the last episode, did you see the fourth episode?
Yes.
With the boxes?
Yeah, the slow invasion, I think.
Yeah, it's called Power of Three.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was wonderful.
It was, yeah. It was very interesting, very different.
Really a cool setup, and the idea of the boxes and all that stuff I just thought was kind of brilliant. That's when I love it.
A lot of people felt like that was a filler episode.
I thought it was great.
I saw that pretty universally on Facebook.
People really?
Were disappointed by it. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was great.
I even saw a guy say, fire Stephen Moffat, even though he didn't write that episode. So
oh, yeah,
I'm not sure why that guy was bent out of shape.
Russell T. Davis was so much better.
I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying that's what I saw. He put hashtag
But it's
fire
interesting.
Stephen
I think that, I think that's because he was spending time with the Pawns and like right. they're not. But the mystery of these boxes, mm-hmm. I thought was a very Doctor Who concept,
oh,
a very
totally.
Strange,
yeah, yeah.
weird thing that could only happen on this show and
yeah.
sort of, you know, be there. Anyway, on that note, there's one episode left with
Before
the Pawns.
Before the mid-season break. Yeah.
Before the mid-season break and supposedly with the Pawns. This
yeah.
is it. So I just wonder, and Moffat has said, he's kind of hinted that things are not going to go well.
That is correct.
Something bad is going to happen.
Yes.
And it will be permanent in some way.
Yes.
It's not going to be like they get up the next day and they're going to be
And
okay.
he has said it's at the hand of the Weeping Angels.
He definitely saw that in the trailer. That adventure.
And by
there.
The time this airs, people have seen it already.
Right.
So I don't think that's too much of a spoiler.
So I guess we could guess at this point maybe what might happen.
The premise of the Weeping Angels is that they steal your energy and your time and send you back to the past.
Right.
And feed off your life.
But do you think someone's going to die?
I think Amy will.
You do?
Rory, in theory, is already dead and is an Auton, right?
I think
With
something...
Rory's memories?
It's jumped around so much.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm curious about... I feel like if he...
That's how he was able to live 1,000 years and wait
yeah,
for it. 2,000
yeah.
years
if,
and wait for it.
If it ends up being Amy, then it would seem that it would be very obvious that it would be Amy. In other words, it would seem that... Over half the people out there would think that Amy's going to die.
Yeah.
Because he sort of hinted at something bad happening or maybe a death or something. But I seem to remember him saying something about, you know, all the Pawns don't make it out of this or something.
Right.
I seem to recall it being in that sort of a phrase.
Right.
And since the Doctor has been calling all three of them, Rory, Amy, and Rory's dad,
yeah.
the Pawns,
mm-hmm.
even though Rory and the dad aren't technically a Pawn.
Right, yes.
I wonder if maybe he's going to pull a switch on us and kill the dad.
No. Okay.
And maybe something like that will happen.
Could be.
Because that's a very clever thing to do.
Yes.
But I'm going to say...
But you've also got their kid out there in the world.
That's true. And you could, I suppose you could consider her a pond.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, she died already.
Yes.
Sort of.
Sort of.
So I'm going to say, I'm going to bet, just to bet it, that Amy's not going to die.
I'm going to predict it's going to be Colonel Mustard in the drawing room.
With the candlestick.
With the candlestick, yep.
Okay. You pick that every time.
I know, but it's... That's how... Eventually it's going to be right.
That's how I always win Clue.
A watched clock.
Do the same thing every time.
A stopped clock is right twice.
So there you go. That's my prediction.
Okay. So also this weekend, the DC Nation is back with new episodes.
Yes.
So Young Justice is back in the Green Lantern animated series. It looks like they are dumping more money in the Green Lantern animated series, so it's not just Hal and Kilowog on desolate planets. Like, there'll be other characters this season.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They've shown a trailer, so you see, like, you know, Chip is out there. And
Chip from My Three Sons?
Yes.
He's back?
Someone doesn't read Green Lantern.
No, he doesn't.
And then I think, not DC Nation, but Clone Wars is back, starting season 5.
Yes.
And it looks like...
I gave up on that. I watched Shizor, like, 2 seasons.
Shizor is going to be in this season. Who was the villain?
Shizor?
Who was the villain in Shadow of the Empire.
Oh, my God.
That they created. Yeah.
You mean the lamest thing that ever happened in the expanded universe? Remember that?
It had a fun video game.
Trying to get everybody excited about toys.
I remember.
Talk about...
Bounty Hunter Chewbacca.
Sitting on the shelves.
Yeah, with his... that was the one that
with
sat
the special
longest,
eye.
Yeah, with his crew cut.
And Shizor's ship.
Cut.
Oh. That was terrible. I remember being at some event. It was some comic thing or something, and Sansweet was there.
Yeah.
And so this was after the special editions, right? Or was it before the special editions?
Before.
It was.
Yeah, that was trying to get people excited.
Trying to get people excited about the special editions. And he stood up there and talked about this like he was reading Shakespeare. Like, this was going to be the most amazing thing to happen in Star Wars ever.
Yeah.
Wow, Shizor.
Shizor is in it, yeah.
One more reason not to tune into that.
And for you, Halloween, you said you saw in the CVS pharmacy, you saw the new Peanuts figures.
I did. I texted you.
You did?
The new Peanuts. The new Charlie
Brown.
They're
like in, yeah, they're in like Halloween costumes this time, right?
Yeah, I mean, the only one that is really permanently Halloween is Linus. He seems to like have a green face.
Right?
And little chains that come with him.
Yeah.
But like Charlie Brown's a pirate and Lucy's a prostitute, I think.
Right.
Or
they just made these up. These are not the costumes from The Great Pumpkin.
Right.
Which they made previously
and you can take,
in like a 4-inch format.
You can take their gear off.
Yeah. These are small. They've shrunk the scale.
Shrunk them down, yeah. And Snoopy.
Yes.
Has got the Red Baron hat on and goggles.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then little
Woodstock.
Woodstock. I think is wearing a little mask,
and
like
did you
a Robin mask.
Pick any of those up?
I picked Snoopy up.
Okay.
I thought Snoopy was cute.
And those are at CVS pharmacies.
CVS
across the nation.
Original. Who makes them?
Round Two.
And they
as
own...
part of their brand Forever Fun, which
right.
they used to be. They, a lot of them are the old Playing Mantis.
Playing Mantis.
Guys.
That's
yeah.
right.
They
Boy, I remember when they first came out. Playing Mantis first came out with like the Rudolph stuff.
Oh yeah,
that was beautiful stuff.
Well, I mean, Round Two is still making that stuff.
Oh, they are.
They just keep repainting it.
Oh.
Yeah, and making it in different scales, but
oh, and it goes to CVS.
Actually, Toys R Us has been carrying that.
Oh.
They're both CVS and Toys R Us.
But you collect all the Charlie Brown stuff.
I collected all the stuff in the original scale. I haven't got the smaller scale.
You should get the smaller scale.
I don't know. I got so much of the other stuff, you know.
Don't have enough room, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, they're all smaller, so you could make some room. So the other thing I wanted to say was Andy Williams. Just passed away.
Dead.
84 years old.
Yeah.
And so, you know, rest in peace, Andy Williams. He had a great voice and everything. But I want to dedicate this episode to Andy Williams.
Really?
Because when we were growing up, my family had a restaurant, an Italian restaurant, which
okay.
I told you about, in St. Paul.
Yes.
And we all worked there and we all lived there. That was our second home and everything. But right up the street was this little Mexican restaurant called Savino's.
Mm-hmm.
And it was up on Payne Avenue. And it was just this little place. You walked in the door. You were there for 5 minutes, and when you walked out, you smelled like Mexican food. Like, it just, it was this tiny little place.
Yes.
And my dad knew the owner, and they made these amazing enchiladas and tacos with this best I've ever had in my life. And they had this jukebox, and we only ever played, like, 3 songs on this jukebox.
Yes.
My dad would always go over with the change, say, come on, pick some stuff, and then he would pick, and it was Cisco Kid by War, and Layla by Derek and the Dominoes.
Yes.
And... Speak Softly, Love theme from The Godfather by Andy Williams.
All right.
So every time I hear Andy Williams, I think of Savino's and my dad and that jukebox and listening to those songs. So
I heard him do, I guess it was from a telethon originally, but someone put it up on YouTube, him doing The Police's Every Breath You Take.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be
good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be really cool. He had a hell of a voice.
He did. It's true.
And he had a show for a long time.
A long time. I mean, almost it was 10 years, like, I think.
Yeah, a long time. Loads of people were on there.
Yeah.
And then I think he kind of was one of those guys that was in Branson for a long time. Right?
That's right. That's where he passed away.
Oh, he did? Okay. Uh-huh. So like he had his own,
he had a theater in Branson.
He had a theater there, yeah.
Yeah. He discovered the Osmonds, too. He had the Osmonds on that show.
Oh, did he?
The original four brothers, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Was he Mormon? He wasn't Mormon.
I don't believe so.
Okay. Because the Osmonds are.
He was Republican.
Was he?
Yep.
Well, I still want to dedicate the show to Andy and Speak Softly, Love, which was theme from The Godfather. They added lyrics to the musical theme, but it was never in the film.
Yeah.
Was it in the film? No, it wasn't in the film.
I don't think so.
Unless it was something to do with part three, I forget.
Yeah.
But it was all over the airwaves, man. So rest
in
peace, Andy.
And finally, the last thing, PowerCon. I mentioned this last week with guys from Spy Monkey Creations. And
their
new line of toys, which we can talk about now, the Weaponeers of Mon Ka. And I feel bad I didn't bring them in today. It's probably good that I didn't, because if you mess with them, you will not put them down.
I've heard that before.
Super fun and very, very cool.
And they're action figures, but they're like...
They're Glios.
They're Glios.
They're action figures.
Right, but we should tell people it's not the traditional action figure that you think of on the shelves, like a Star Wars figure or... you know, a Spider-Man figure or something. They are this Glio system, which is... you wouldn't call it, like, urban vinyl. Like, what would you...
It's not urban... Well, I mean, when you think about the Glio stuff, like the original O'Neill design stuff, it's very...
Right.
It's short. It's like 3 inches, and it's kind of rounded, Giger-esque. They've done something that is more sort of robotic.
Right.
And sort of classic 80s...
Like square... Like GoBots, kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
Like squared off. Yeah. And very, yeah.
But we've got an interview with Brian Stevenson, who's a buddy of mine, that does also one-third of Spy Monkey guys.
That's right.
It's a long interview that we did at PowerCon, but explains all this stuff.
Okay.
But their stuff is going to be launched October 1st. That's where you can start buying it.
Hey, that's when the Hobbit stuff's coming out.
That's right. And it's... I brought in the weapon sets and had a lot of fun, but these are so cool. And
they go with the weapon sets, too, right?
All the weapon set fits with them. You can put outer spacemen with them. All that stuff will connect.
What?
And yeah. So, wow. I mean, it's they thought this out so well that they've created this whole storyline. And leading up to them debuting at PowerCon, they wrote a storyline that they released a piece of over 10 days. And it's original IP, and it's just kind of fun, because when was the last time like you had a surprise line of figures?
Yeah, an original thing. Yeah.
So
well, I hope it. How did it go? Because they debuted it at PowerCon.
I mean, when I was there, they were doing gangbusters. I mean, people kept coming by. Kids were like trying to spend their allowance. Like, Dad, Brian kind of talks about this. Dad, do I have enough money for this?
Oh, nice.
But people really were eating them up.
Oh, good.
So let's talk to Brian Stevenson right now.
All
right,
Brian.
And then you and I will talk next week.
Yes, we will.
Hope you'll all be there.
Have a good week.
I am here at PowerCon 2012 with my man Brian Stevenson of Spy Monkey Creations. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
I'm good. You guys have been teasing us. You have been dangling things in front of us. You have been taunting us with some sort of new reveal that now it's PowerCon we can finally talk about.
Yes.
What is going on with you guys?
We have just launched our first original creation called the Weaponeers of Mon Ka. We kind of wanted to break away from doing just accessories and weapons for 6 and 7 inch action figures, and you know we had created the armory last year, and that went over huge success. And what we wanted to do was kind of tell a story around the armory. Where did the weapons come from? You know, who delivered these weapons to the Eternias, the Cybertrons, because I mean I've got all mine with Transformers, and some with some, you know, how did they get on Thundera? You know, it's like all this kind of stuff. And we kind of took all of the elements of the 80s toy lines that why do all of us, you know, pushing 40 dudes still buy these action figures and stuff? You know, it's like there's a nostalgia factor. It's the memory of how exciting it was to walk into a Kmart or the Sears or you know, it's like one of those stores as a kid and see brand new toys on the shelf.
Right.
So, and that's why we didn't telegraph 6 months in advance, like all the other toy companies are doing now, this is what we're making. Because we wanted the surprise. We wanted that, you know, freshness. And the response here has been huge at PowerCon. People have just been absolutely eating these things up. And it feels really good that, you know, something we've created is getting that response. We, the Weaponeers kind of evolved out of, we wanted to do a GLaDOS-compatible action figure. We had been working...
Which is what all
the weapons are, yeah. Yep. So these figures will work with every single one of the weapons packs we've ever done. They'll work with the Outer Spacemen's... or the Four Horsemen's Outer Spacemen. They're going to work with all of O'Neill Design's GLaDOS-compatible figures. Colgrim, you know, anything that uses the GLaDOS system, these will work with. But basically the story is these Weaponeers from this dimension called Mung Ka build these weapons and then they deliver them to other universes to help them. And they're basically recruiting the Thundercats, the Eternians, the Cybertronians. They're recruiting everyone to help fight in their war.
Okay.
Their war is bigger than the cosmos itself, and yet no one knows about it because it's literally the fight between light and dark, of shadow and stars, you know. So the story is of Umbreus, who was the chosen king and falls.
Uh-huh.
His younger brother Imperius rises to power and is they are the Giro, the good guys.
Okay.
And then the Vilhain, the bad guys. Villain, hero, so it's like Giro, Vilhain.
Yep.
Well, you know, we kept it really kind of simple with the names and everything. They've both got general characters that are generals of their armies. We've done some army builders that are clear crystal-ish color and clear magma-ish color.
Yes.
And they're called the Golem.
Okay.
And the concept of the Golem is they are protoform type creatures that grow out of the elements of Mung Ka, and they choose their path. Are they a Vilhain? Are they a Giro? Are they a good guy? Are they a bad guy? That's up to the player to decide which side their Golem are going to be on.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of playability with it. You know, you can build big, huge double up figures and build up, you know, these big destroyers and make crazy centaur creatures and all kinds of stuff.
And how many pieces are there in the average figure?
The average figure, they're anywhere between 25 to 29 pieces. The Golems come with the most because the Golems come with every piece that comes out of the mold, basically. They come, you know, whatever color they're in.
Yeah.
And then the four main characters, Imperius, Umbreus, Paladar, and Brutok, they all come with their respective, you know, they come with their own character heads. And then they all come with an extra head that is the flip side of their coin. So Paladar, who is in our cold steel color, comes with a cold steel Brutok head. Brutok, who is in our green Venom color, comes with a green Venom Paladar head.
Okay.
And, you know, same thing for Imperius and Umbreus.
Yeah. So it is a long way to come from casting weapons on a back patio,
yes,
to creating your own original IP and having them factory made,
yes, and having them ready to debut at a
convention for a drop dead date.
Yes.
So, can you talk a little bit about that journey? I mean, that's something a lot of people dream about.
Yeah, what really started it, and you know, it's like, and I've talked about this before. Jeremy, who is the president and founder of Spy Monkey, he made a sword for his Zodak character. He wanted a figure. You know, he always thought, you know, Zodak didn't come with enough accessories. He got that little bitty pea shooter gun, which, you know, it's like it's a formidable character like Zodak. Jeremy's always been big into the Green Lanterns.
Yes.
And so Zodak, the cosmic enforcers, are kind of the Green Lanterns of the Eternian universe.
Right.
So he made this sword, and we called it the Master Blade of the Empyrean.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave one to me, gave one to Bill, he gave one, you know, he just cast them up for a bunch of us. Well, we started posting pictures online and, you know, posting them on AFI and on He-Man.org and some other, you know, websites that are all toy related. And 10 people wanted them, then 100 people wanted them, then 1,000 people. I mean, it's like I want grew. And we thought, well, why don't we put these things out there and try to sell them?
Yeah.
So we actually, the Spy Monkey name had been around for a while. and we kind of dusted it off for this venture. We had been trying to make action figures, 3¾-inch superhero action figures for quite some time.
Yeah.
Just the funding. Just we couldn't find a way to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, because back then there were no great things like Kickstarter. There were no, you know, anything like that where you could fan fund.
Right.
And pre-orders were just something we didn't even know how to begin to go about marketing.
Yeah.
So we started doing these resin casts, and then everybody was like, this was great. We love this sword. What's next? So we just kind of, oh, my gosh, what do we do?
Uh-huh.
So we devised a wing blade. So we did the demon blade. We came up with that. Then we did the shield. Then we did, you know, several different swords. You know, we did the trap jaw set, you know, yep. The dark arsenal of the space pirate. And
yep.
You know, so we did
the hammer.
The hammer, you know, we did the big hammer, and that, oh, boy. You know, everybody that has one of those, count yourselves lucky, because that will probably never, ever happen again unless we can do it like a big vinyl, you know, cast thing, because it's just the man hours to make that are just so brutal. You know, we thought about going back into the 3¾-inch action figure and doing it as a GLaDOS compatible action figure.
Right.
When the Outer Spaceman debuted, we thought, oh, well, this would be great. We tried to work it out, and it just the aesthetics of a superhero sculpted build, mm-hmm. you know, with musculature, and it just, once you started moving the figures and the pieces around, it just looked weird,
right.
In the you know, just from the way the cut lines were. So we decided to shelve that again and take our weapons, and what if our weapons were a modular, you know, break apart GLaDOS
system,
compatible system. So we, you know, we spent 6 months developing that. And we literally, in the final developments of that, Jeremy and I and Matt Doty, the creator of GLaDOS, are literally, during Comic-Con a couple of years ago, in the bathroom floor on cocktail napkins and paper towels, sketching out how we're going to break down the weapons and make them all work.
Why did it have to be the bathroom?
Because everybody else they literally was a hippie commune in the, you know,
oh, in the hotel room.
Okay. So everyone else
it wasn't
asleep.
Like the con floor.
No. So it's like everyone else.
Okay,
was
all right.
Yeah, so we had to kind of, you know.
All right, that makes more sense.
We had to get in the bathroom to turn the light on.
All right.
So we, you know, we hashed all this out. Then Jeremy and I spent 6 months, you know, just figuring out how to make all of that work as sculpts, and we brought all the bits to PowerCon last year for the armory and kind of had them hidden. And when people were like, oh, what are you guys up to next, and I just kind of, come here, take a look at this, just as a test market.
Uh-huh.
And everyone's like, oh, you know, just vibrating out of their skin, this is so awesome. So we decided, you know, this is a good thing to do, to cut steel on, because steel's expensive.
Oh yeah.
You know, and factory production, you know, until you get those unit numbers way up there, can be expensive. And we wanted to make it a reasonable price point that everybody, you know, that would want them could afford.
Yep.
We did really well. They were really successful. So then we started toying with the idea of dusting off the 3¾-inch figure again.
Mm-hmm.
Until we figured out how much it was going to cost to cut the tooling. And we were like, well, we're already in this GLaDOS world.
Right.
Our weapons are great as accessories, but what if we made them the accessories of our own cohesive toy line?
Right.
So we decided to kind of start hammering out, doing our own GLaDOS style figure. And we wanted to do one that was kind of an homage to the Masters of the Universe, that was big and stocky and bulky. And, you know, because a lot of the GLaDOS stuff is very organic and very wiry.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
and it's very cool for building and stuff like that. And they're very unique, you know, kind of Giger-esque characters.
Mm-hmm.
And what we wanted to do was kind of do the flip side of that and do great big robotic-looking block builds. And so we kind of banged out a design. Jeremy and I, you know, sat in my dining room, at my dining room table, and, you know, in a course of about 5 Saturdays, we found out from our factory, what's the deadline to get it by this convention to have product? And he gave us a beautiful lineup of what we needed to do, and we just worked our butts off to hit every single one of those benchmarks, and we did.
Yeah.
You know, some of them we beat, you know, and it's just like, but we just really did, and we sculpted them out, and it evolved, you know. Umbreus and Imperius evolved after Paladar and Brutok were designed.
Okay.
So the main characters were Paladar and Brutok, but then as we got going, we're like, these guys are more soldiers, you know, fighters. You know, they're brutal looking characters. We need someone that's, you know, a little bit more strategic and more kingly on one side and more evil on the other. So we developed Imperius and Umbrius, and, uh-huh. and then the Golem kind of evolved out of that as being, well, these are now the foot soldiers and the people that will fill out the ranks,
right?
And we can do the Golem. The Golem are basically elemental warriors, mm-hmm. so you know, we can do an all black Golem and call him the Obsidian Golem. We can do an all glow Golem and, you know, be like the Toxic Glow. We can do a clear colorless and be the Diamond Golem, you know. So it's like we can do one that's kind of got sandstone look to
are
it.
Are we getting granite. A sneak peek at Wave 2?
Is that... We're really banging some stuff around on what we want to do. And actually, last Sunday, as we were finishing up all of the preparations for this convention, Jeremy and I were doing builds with the parts that we already have. And we can easily make 5-6 different characters just the way the tooling's laid out, replacing some head plates,
yeah.
and stuff like that. We can create completely new characters just by changing the colors.
And there's some unique features, such as a lot of their fists can double as heads.
As heads, actually, yes. The main characters, their hands are the heads of the Golem.
Uh-huh.
And their heads are also weapons.
Yeah, and so it's hard to describe here on radio.
Yeah,
but I've held these in my hand and it works.
Yeah,
and it's really really cool.
Yeah, yeah. We've got one guy that's got a big, kind of a spiked crown across the top of his head. Spin that sideways, and it looks like a big like bear claw.
Yeah,
almost. You know, coming out of the end of the other guy's arm. And one guy's got this big bullet head, you know, with a barrel on the end of it. So when you stick it on a forearm, it looks like a big blaster.
Yeah. So you guys on your website have been doing kind of a teaser story.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the lore of this.
Yeah, the Stranger's Tale. Yeah,
uh-huh.
We wanted to do like kind of a dime store novel, Edgar Rice Burroughs type, you know, pulpy, you know, origin. Where did these guys come from? We wanted to introduce people to the characters and to the world slowly through a familiar set of characters, you know. I mean, people are asking me, are we going to get a Stranger figure? Are we going to get a Weaponsmith figure? Are we going to get a Miner? I'm like, you're the Miner. You're the Weaponsmith. You're the Stranger.
Yeah.
It's your adventure. You know, it's like you've gone on the adventure with these Gero as the Stranger.
Yeah.
So now it's like you get to be part of that world. And it really, you know, it's like we wanted to tease. We didn't want to show full on. We really wanted to kind of build the excitement. And I think we succeeded in that. I mean, our Facebook page was blowing up. You know, we've got a little feature where we can look on our Facebook page to see how many people are yep. jumping on and linking and seeing each post. And every day, it was like the freaking Richter scale. You know, it's like it exponentially grew every day to the point to where when we got to the final chapter, you know, people were begging for more. We took breaks on Friday, Saturday, Sunday
uh-huh.
and posted other news. But people were like, when's the story? When did I get the next part of the story? We did like a Monday through Thursday thing.
Yeah.
And it culminated on Wednesday before the show started. And then we started doing, you know, we did teases on the weekends and stuff. And, you know, we debuted here to a great, great turnout. You
yeah,
know?
We're sitting next to the booth and it's just there's always been someone
yeah,
there
yeah,
like
yeah.
with their mitts on
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Looking it over.
Yeah,
and,
well, you know, it's like Eric Treadway, the horseman, he once kind of referred to Glios as hand candy.
Oh, yes.
You know, because it's like, and it does. It's like, you know, my wife even said, she goes, I want to eat them. They look so, you know, yummy. And it's like, and they do. They look like big pieces of candy.
Yeah.
And you just can't put them down. Once you pick them up, it's like, I mean, if you like Legos, if you like Kinects, if you like any of those modular building systems,
yeah.
you know, you can, yeah, I mean, your only limit on this kind of stuff is your imagination.
Absolutely, yeah. You know? That was what I loved about the weapons. You know, I got to see these the other day at an event we were all at.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was just... we were all sitting there. You know, it was Bill's birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
we were all
yeah,
sitting
Bill,
around
Bill,
the sitting
other,
around
yeah,
breakfast.
Yeah,
you know, pulling these
yeah,
things apart.
The guy in Spy Monkey. Yeah,
yeah.
And it's, and Bill, you know, Bill's been, you know, Bill does all of our online stuff. He puts up all of our, you know, he takes all of our photos. You know, does all of our graphics and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's and so it's like it's such a collaborative effort. You know, between Bill, myself, and Jeremy. You know, to do this, and it's like without, you know, I mean, it's like we're very small. You know, and it's, I think sometimes people get a little confused about the scale of our operation.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Sometimes I think people think that we're the size of, you know, of a NECA or, you know, or of a Sideshow or something like that. And we're three dudes, man. And it's just like, but we have such a good time doing it. And it's such a brotherhood,
yeah.
you know, for us to do this, you know. And it's just like, it's, you know, and to see the excitement and people seeing a brand new toy line. Because when was the last time a brand new IP You know, because we're all into the nostalgia and all into the 80s. When was the last time a brand new IP came out that, you know, people could really get excited about?
Yeah.
You know, it's like they don't launch
stuff like
that.
It plays into those archetypes and those themes.
Yeah. And that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to tap that nostalgia while at the same time creating something completely different. I mean, even the colors that we use.
Oh,
the colors that we use are very reminiscent of Autobots and Decepticons and Skeletor and, you know, Evil-Lyn and, you know, it's like, and of, you know, I mean, and it's funny because it reminds, everything reminds somebody of something different.
Yep.
I've had people go, oh, that looks just like something from Battle Beasts. Or, oh, that looks like just like something from Voltron. Or that looks like just something like something from Power Lords.
Yeah.
Or that reminds me of the guy from like Sektars. You know, it's like, and that's what we really wanted to create.
Absolutely.
Like, it reminds you of something that you have such a nostalgia for. You know, that it's like, it's hard to keep your hands off of.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thank you so much, Brian. It's a real pleasure.
Absolutely.
I'm super excited about these things. I'm glad I can finally talk about them.
Yeah. That's for us, too. I mean, nobody's been just like, more than we have, you know. And it's such a relief to go, here they are, you know. I mean, it's been a lot of fun.
So people not at PowerCon, how do they get their hands on these?
We will we'll be putting out a press release pretty soon, probably the first part of next week. But our plan is that we're not going to make people wait long.
Yeah.
October 1st, Monday, October 1st is our plan drop. We will go on sale at 12 noon Pacific Daylight Time.
Okay.
Now with this first run, you know, we've kind of limited the amount we're selling at the convention because we want to have enough online.
Sure.
Because of the tight turnaround, and this has been 9 months in development.
Yeah.
And because of the tight turnaround to get the amount we needed for the factory, and because like, you know, you said before, it's like one day they're making toys, the next day they're making baby bottles, the next day they're making, you know, heart monitors.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, and so in order to fit us into their schedule, we did a very limited amount on these characters.
Okay.
And so if, you know, the chances are, if these blow out fast, we're going to move right into reordering and getting, you know, getting these characters out again.
Yeah.
We may change the colors up a little bit. We may make them we may do all metallics.
Oh,
you
okay.
Know, to really robot them up a little bit, because they're, with the exception of Paladar, everybody's either in a clear or a straight, you know, flat color.
Yeah.
But we were thinking if we were to do that, we would do, you know, so that's a little bit of a teaser there.
If they do
come back, you know, they'll be in metallics. That's kind of a hope. But that's, you know, because we want to keep unique. We want people to have something, you know, special. Same characters, you know, just a little bit of a different colorway. So it's like if people wanted the first drop, but then they're like, hey, I, you know, love to have them in metallics too, they have that option. So, and it gets people the chance to get in and get the same characters, you know, they may have missed out on, if they don't get on, you know, if we sell out quickly.
And beef up their ranks.
And beef up their ranks. And, you know, the hope is, you know, these will stick around for a little while and we won't have some crazy, you know, hour-long sellout. And, you know, I mean, but you know, I mean, we have a good, healthy amount
good.
Of product. So we're excited. And on top of that, we also have, on top of the six figures that we're doing, we also have what we're calling the Close Combat Armory set.
Okay.
And that's two pistols, and this is all GLaDOS compatible. It's two handheld pistols. We've redesigned the Dominar handle and shortened it, because in our original armory series, the Dominar handle in some of the PVC was a little gummy, and with the weight of the hammer, it would droop. So we redesigned it so it would choke up on the grip a little bit more, so we won't have that. We've got four mini blades, a sword, and a sickle blade. And those are going to go for $5.
Oh, that's
piece.
Terrific!
So it's about a 14-piece set.
Mm-hmm.
The original armories are dropping down to $15 a set on October 1st.
Okay.
We're selling them for the same thing here on the show, but on the site, you know, October 1st, they'll drop down to $15 as well.
Right.
The figures will be $12 a piece.
Okay.
So we have, you know, a grand amount of product coming out.
Seriously, $12
yes.
for a 6-inch figure made by three guys.
They're about,
or,
well,
five,
they're,
five inch.
They're about four, yeah. four and a half, okay. depending on which character.
But
it
made
is.
By yeah. three guys.
Yes.
I mean, that's a remarkable
yes.
price
yes.
for the
yes.
for the
and it was really
for
important.
A small run.
It was really important for us to keep the price point down, because with the way plastics are and the way, I mean, so many toys that we love and we're all collecting, a lot of collectors are having to get out of because the prices are going up so high.
Yeah.
And the factories are using, you know, lower quality, you know, materials in order to make them.
Yeah.
We're very fortunate that the factory we have is, you know, very communicative with us and is always on. I mean, we're constantly back and forth with email, and our liaison over there is just on top and knows exactly what we want. He comes over here a couple times a year and has a sit down with us.
Yeah.
You know, and so we're really fortunate in that. And being able to keep that price point down for us is very, very important.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still being able to make enough that we can continue to make these characters and make these figures. But at the same time, you know, we're collectors.
Right.
And we go on toy runs and we go online. And it's like, and sometimes there's certain things that we would love to have that we can't just because we're priced out of the market on
sure.
So, you know, and we want to be able to make sure these are affordable to everybody. I mean, we've had kids with their allowances showing up today, you know, grabbing figures. Ooh, what do I, you know, I've got some big like double up builds, and what do I need to build him? And I'm like, well, you need this guy and this weapon set. Dad, do I have enough? You know, and I'm just like, yeah, that's awesome. You know, because
yeah.
I remember being that kid.
Oh,
I remember
absolutely.
Walking down the aisle going, do I have enough for Starscream?
Yeah.
Can I get Starscream and maybe the Bumblebee?
Yeah.
You know, I remember doing that. You know, it's like, can I get Battlecat and He-Man? You know, so it's like, it's really cool to be able to, you know, it's like they can walk away with not just a figure that they can reconfigure and build, but a couple
yeah.
for the same price as they would, you know, I mean, buy one action figure at Toys R Us right now.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So that's really important to us, you know. It's like, and it feels good to be able to, you know, to be able to offer that to our customers, because we've got amazing, loyal, and excited customers, and,
right.
And it's great. It's like, and you know, we get to come to these conventions and meet them. We know most of them by name, you know.
Yeah.
It's like they come up and we're able to chat with them, and you know, and hang out with them later, and you know, have a cocktail or a beer, you know. It's like, and it's really fun. You know, we have a great time.
Awesome. Brian Stevenson, Spy Monkey Creations, thank you for your time.
Thank you, man.
It's such a pleasure, and we'll have lots of pictures up on Action Figure Insider.
Excellent.
From PowerCon of all the stuff, and check out SpyMonkeyCreations.com.
And also, to check out more about the Weaponeers, you can check out weaponeersofmunkah.com. And Weaponeers is sounded just like you would think. And Munkah is actually MONKAA.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. Have a good rest of your show.
You too. Thank you, man.
Yep.
Shiny. Let's be bad guys. I know Kung Fu. Show me. Secrets of nature's deepest mystery.